Praise the Lord. Let us read just one verse to begin the meeting this morning. That would be Matthew chapter 16, verse 2 and 3. And in the morning, it will be foul weather. Two and three, okay. He answered and said to them, when it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the evening, it will be foul weather, for the day is red and threatening. Hypocrites, you know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of times. Amen. Yes, that was indeed the situation when the Lord came for the first time. There were actually many signs, the signs of the times, that they could have recognized that the Lord Jesus was indeed the Messiah, right? There were so many prophecies already in the Old Testament, especially the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus was a sign, but they missed it. They missed it, right? And so the Lord really rebuked them here, saying, you hypocrites, you know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. And we are in danger of becoming the same as them, right? Although they knew the scriptures, but they missed the signs of the times. And we all cannot deny that we are living in a very crucial time, as we heard last night. So many things are happening, right? You know, when many of us have heard about these over 40 years ago already, about the peace treaty. But it seems like it's so far away. We heard it, we got interested, we forgot about it, because we're talking about, oh, it might happen maybe 20, 25 years, and if we are still alive, we'll be lucky to experience it, right? But today, it becomes so real. It's happening before our eyes, right? Many things have already happened, and things that are happening now are just unfolding before our eyes. We're seeing it happening. And that's why we have this burden to really talk about it, so that we will be stirred up and we will have a sense of urgency that the time is really at hand, right? It might sound scary. Our intention is not to scare you. But hey, you know, Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, you need to work out your own salvation. It will help us to work out trembling. It's good to have some fear and trembling. It will help us to work out our own salvation, right? We need to have a godly fear, a healthy fear, so that when the Lord comes back, we will not be caught in surprise, right? That we will not suffer loss and we will receive the reward. Now, concerning the signs of the times, we saw yesterday that the nation of Israel is very much involved in God's eternal purpose here, especially the whole kingdom of God, right? God made a promise, a covenant to Abraham that he will make him a great nation, and that through this nation, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. And God is faithful. Once he made a covenant, he will not break it. Although the children of Israel were unfaithful, right? And Jerusalem was destroyed. Temple was destroyed because they rebelled against God. They worshipped idols. They did so many things that were abominable in the sight of God. And yet, because of God's covenant with Abraham, the Lord rebuilt Jerusalem, restored the temple, and also to prepare for the Lord's first coming. So for the Lord to come the first time, it was necessary that the nation of Israel existed and the temple was built and there were the offerings. All these three always come together. Right? You cannot imagine Israel without a temple. And you cannot have a temple without the offerings. So these three always should be together. Right? And so we see in the history that in AD 70, right, again, Jerusalem was fully destroyed, the temple fully damaged, right? Because they rejected Christ, who is actually the king of the Jews, the Messiah. The first time they rejected God to be their king. Second time they rejected Christ to be their king. And they say, what? Our sins be upon our head, right? And upon our children. And indeed, they received God's judgment in AD 70 when King Titus and Titus came, right? And destroyed Jerusalem and all the temple and killed so many Jews, and the rest were taken captives. So that was what happened in AD 70, right? Now, regarding the second coming of the Lord, we have also a lot of prophecies. You can see in our outline here, right? The Lord did prophesy many times in the Old Testament times that Israel will be restored again, right? In Amos chapter 9, 11 and 12, in Ezekiel, maybe you can read them all yourself. Maybe we read Ezekiel, huh? Just to have an impression that the Lord did prophesy already in the Old Testament. Chapter 37 and verse, I think we just read 21 and 22 would be good enough. Shall we read it together? Yeah, 21 and 22. Thus says the Lord God, surely I will take the children of Israel from among the nations where they have gone, and will gather them from every side and bring them into their own country. And I will make them one nation in the land on the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king over them. And they shall no longer be two nations, nor shall they ever be divided into two kingdoms again. Right, praise the Lord. And many other places, you can read it for yourself in this outline, that already in the Old Testament it was prophesied that Israel will be built again together as a nation, right? And the Lord also in his prophecy, now we can come here, right? So when the Lord comes back, definitely Israel has to be restored, right? And if there is the nation of Israel, what will happen next? The temple should be rebuilt, right? And then if the temple is rebuilt, what should happen? What do you do in the temple? The offerings should be restored. These three are always present regarding the Lord's kingdom, the fulfillment of God's purpose. So, now, there are three signs mentioned by the Lord concerning his coming. Praise the Lord. He doesn't just come right away, right? He gives us some signs to prepare. Just like when I'm going to visit New York, I will give Miu Chang a call first and tell him I'm coming in 3 months, okay? And then two weeks before I come, I'll call him again. I say, you remember I called you, I'm coming, right? So I won't catch him in surprise. Well, the Lord is very merciful also. Thank God he doesn't just show up right away, right? Otherwise we'll be caught in our PJs. Not good. We will not be ready to meet him. So now the Lord has these three signs, right? First of all, it says, now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and put forth leaves, you know that the summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near at the door. So the fig tree here definitely represents the children of Israel. And here in your outline, if you see B1, it says the parable of the fig tree. And you read the verses in Hosea 9 and 10, it tells us that the fig tree is indeed a type of Israel, right? So when you see the fig tree budding again, you know that the summer is near, right? Because Israel was in a state of destruction and dispersion. It was summertime. It was wintertime. So when it starts to bud again and put forth leaves, then you know that the summer is near at the door. And that definitely happened in 1948, when after the Second World War, the Jewish nation was reformed, which is a miracle, because no nation, after being dispersed for 300 years, came together again to become a nation. And Israel was non-existent for 2,000 years. Can you imagine that? And after 2,000 years, the Jews, who had been persecuted so much, became a nation again, right? And then if you read Luke chapter 21 and verse 24, we have it on the board, the verses there, it says, and Jerusalem will be trampled by Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. That is in Luke chapter 21, verse 24. Meaning to say that when you see Jerusalem no longer trampled, no longer controlled or occupied by the nations, then the time of the nations are fulfilled. That means the kingdom, this world being ruled by the nations has ended. That means the next kingdom should be coming soon, right? Officially, it has ended. Just like officially, the administration of Obama has ended. But he still has until January before somebody takes over, right? So although the Gentiles are still ruling today, but officially it has ended. We're waiting now for the next kingdom to come soon, right? So this is a sign, again, that the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. Now, that happened in 1967, right? When, you know, about the Six-Day War, right? When Jordan, the king of Jordan, at that time, they were in control of East Jerusalem. They wanted to get it back, right? They joined forces with other Arab countries to fight Jerusalem, to fight Israel. And the result was Israel won a wonderful victory and recovered East Jerusalem. So what do you think they will now do after they have East Jerusalem, which is where the temple site is? Jake? Build a temple, of course, right? But what do you need before you can build a temple? You need peace, okay? Because the Arabs, first of all, they have their mosque there, right? And secondly, they will not allow the Jews to build the temple. There will be war immediately, right? So that is why there is a need for a peace treaty. That's why now we have to go to Daniel chapter 9 and verse 27, right? It talks about a prince who will confirm a covenant with many for 1 week, but in the middle of that week he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offerings, right? So we'll come to that later in more details. Now, we have also signs that came from heaven. Now, we're not here to talk about astronomy, okay? I'm not giving a lecture on astronomy, nor are we talking about astrology. No. But the Bible does say that there are signs from heaven which we need to watch out for, all right? Like this verse says, and there will be great earthquakes in various places, and famines and pestilences, and there will be fearful sights and great, what? Signs from heaven. So watch out for the signs from heaven, okay? And then also as early as Genesis chapter 1, God said in verse 14, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide day and night, and also let them be for, was the first thing, for signs. Well, the lights, of course, refer to the sun, the moon, and the stars, right? First of all, they're to divide day and night, but also they are for signs, number one, and seasons and days and years. I mean, God will use these heavenly bodies to be signs for us, right? And you know that the Lord used the stars, I think it's called a supernova, to lead the kings, the wise men from the east. Remember when Jesus was born, there were wise men from the east who followed the stars. The Lord God used the stars to lead the wise men to Christ, right? And then it says also here, I will show wonders in heaven and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood. Doesn't mean it's going to drip blood, right? Doesn't mean it's going to become physical blood. Surely it means that it will look like blood. It will be blood red, okay? So, yes, it is mentioned many times in the scriptures that the Lord will use these things as signs, right? And even more clearly, it says in the next verse, and there will be signs in the heaven, the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. So we need to watch out for the signs, right? Now, we come to the tetrad. The moon will appear red. That's why some people call it blood moon, right? Because it looks bloody red, right? And what is it? Well, first of all, it is a full lunar eclipse. That is when the sun is when the earth is between the sun and the moon, right? And no light goes through to reach the moon, except a little bit that goes around the earth to reach the moon, and that gives the moon that color of red. Somehow, through the atmosphere, the light that goes around the earth to reach the moon gives it this red appearance, right? So, now, this red moon, there is a phenomenon called the tetrad, which means that four such lunar eclipses appears consecutively in 2 years, and each year, twice each year, okay? So it appears in four consecutive times within 4 years and twice in each year, all right? No, in two years, consecutively, four times in 2 years, all right, and twice per year, all right. Okay, and they're relatively rare. There are about 55 tetrads that has happened since the first century. But there are only 10 tetrads, though, which coincides with the Jewish feast since the first century. Right, and only four coincided with the feast of the Jewish feast since 500 years ago. Now, what do we mean by that? Like in 2014 and 2015 was the last one we had, not long ago, right? Last year. And the first one in April 15 coincided with the first feast of the Jews, which was the Passover feast. And according to the Jewish calendar, it was the 15th month of Nisan 5774. All right? That was in 2004. And then the second lunar eclipse occurred in October 9, 2014. And that fell exactly on the seventh feast, which is the Feast of the Tabernacle. Right? So, and then in 2015, you had another lunar eclipse in April 14, 2015. And that again fell on the first feast of the year, which was the Passover feast. All right? And then you have the one in September 28, which again fell on the Feast of the Tabernacle. So these are the unique feast, the unique tetrad that coincided with the feast, the Jewish feast. All right? So that's so special about these two feasts, right? And in the last 500 years, there were only four such tetrads. Remember, these are tetrads that coincided with the Jewish feast, okay? All right. Now, the first one was in 1493 and 1494. And that, and usually, we also, I have to mention this, that every time such a tetrad happens, some events will follow closely, either just before the tetrad or closely after the tetrad. Some events will happen that will either directly or indirectly involve the nation of Israel. Okay, very amazing. And the last 10, even the last 10 ones that occurred since AD 1, all of them were followed by some important events in history that affected the children of Israel or the nation of Israel. But most specially and most directly, the last four ones since the last 500 years. And the first one was in 1993 and 1994. And what happened then? 1493 and 1494, Columbus discovered America. Now, what's so important about that? So that you can all now come to America? Definitely. Now, you have to know that at that time, the king and queen of Spain, King Ferdinand and Queen Isabella, they gave the Jews 4 months to leave Spain or to be converted to Catholicism, right? Just within 4 months. And so over anywhere between 200,000 to 400,000 left Spain. And 50,000 of them decided to be converted to Catholicism. But then, among those who were converted, the Spanish Inquisition at that time, they tortured them to make them confess that they just pretended to be Jews. And when they confessed that, yes, we pretended to be Jews, they burned them on the stake and persecuted them. It was that bad. And it was believed by many historians that Columbus was actually secretly a Jew. Yeah, and he embarked on this journey to actually escape persecution. And also, possibly had a desire to find another place so that the Jews can have a haven where they can escape into. Right. And many of his lifestyle proved that he was a Jew. And in the process of his voyage, praise the Lord, he found, discovered America. And you know, America became a haven to the Jews. There are now over 5 million Jews living here in the United States, right? And America also became a friend of Israel. Without America today, you all know there would be no Jewish nation, right? Even in 1948, they stood very much for the Jews to enable the Jew become a nation. So, very amazing, with this tetrad that happened in 1493 and 1494, just a year before that, in 1492, the New World was discovered, which is America, right? And then, again, in 1949 and 1950, there was another tetrad that coincided with the Jewish feast, right? And that was when, right? And it was actually in 1949 that the first government was formed and that Israel was recognized by the United Nations. Again, that was the fulfillment of what the Lord says, the fig tree, when you see the leaves coming, all right? And then 1967 and 1968, we mentioned that already, right? There was another tetrad at that time, right? Associated or coinciding with the Jewish feast. And indeed, at that time, East Jerusalem, which was under the control of the Jordans, of Jordan at that time, was fully restored to the Jews. So what do you think the Jews want to do now? Mucham, after that. Build a temple, exactly. But is it easy to build a temple? No. So what has to happen? Peace, right? Peace. That's why the next sign would be what? Then we have to come to Daniel chapter 9, right? He, well now we see who is that he, right? Shall make a treaty with many for 1 week. But in the middle of the week, he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offerings. So there will be a seventh king. Now, who is this seventh king? And what will he do? He will make a treaty. You know, when the tetrad happened in 2015, I even went out to look at the blood moon, right, in October. And we thought, well, in 2014, I remember in Toronto conference, John mentioned about the tetrad. Actually, that was the first time I heard about the tetrad. And so I said, oh, this time what's going to happen? I'm sure no peace treaty will happen now, right? So I thought, well, I guess that's it. This is one treaty, this is one tetrad that nothing happens. Sorry. I was kind of disappointed. I thought, oh, tetrad, nothing happened. Anyway, so we forgot about it. Until in the primaries, when one of the candidates, right, you know whom I'm talking about, says, I will make America great again. And it seems like he was winning in the primary. And I did have a reaction in me. I think I called John and said, hey, it might be, he might be the seventh king. Because he says he's going to make America great again. And America has to be great to be able to broker a peace treaty, right? So, praise the Lord. He could be the one, right? Anyway, he says, for 1 week, and in the middle of the week, he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offerings. So this treaty here definitely refers to the peace treaty in the Middle East, right? Because this is what everybody's talking about. And for 1 week, now we have to come. 1 week means the 7 years. Maybe later on we can talk more about that. That is in Daniel chapter 9, talking about the last 7 years before the Lord comes back, right? The 70 weeks up to, from the building of the wall of Jerusalem, the command to build the walls of Jerusalem until the triumphant entry of Christ was 69 weeks. I'll just mention that in passing, right? And then that 70 weeks was suspended, right, until there will be a peace treaty. Then the last 7 years will resume, all right? The last week. Anyway, okay. So, and then, as we mentioned, the peace treaty must allow Israel to offer sacrifices, because these three things go together, right? Israel, the temple, and the sacrifices. So, now this is what, we'll just call him DT, how about that? DT, huh? Donald Trump. He says, I would love to be able to be the one that made peace with Israel and the Palestinians. A lot of people tell me, I mean really great people, tell me that it's impossible. You can't do it. I disagree. I think you can make peace. I have reason to believe I can do it. Right? So after the Tetrad, you have this guy coming in, saying he's going to make America great again, and one of his priority is really to broker the peace treaty. And you remember that God also used a Gentile king during the Old Testament time to rebuild the temple, right? After 70 years of captivity, and the time has come for the temple to be rebuilt, for the children of Israel to return to Jerusalem, God used King Cyrus. And look what he said about him, right? In Isaiah 45. Thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, right? Although he was a heathen king, whose right hand I have held to subdue nations before him and to loose the armor of kings, to open before him the double door. It's amazing how Donald or DT won, right? Against all odds. Against my servant's sake, and Israel my elect, I have even called you by your name. I have named you, though you have not known me. I'm sure Donald or DT is not a very godly person, right? I don't know if he really knows God. Probably not. But, hey, the Lord says, I am the Lord. There is no one. There is no God besides me. I will greet you though you have not known me. Right? So some people are saying that, hey, DT might be the Cyrus of today, right? God may be using him to broker the peace treaty, right? And this is also interesting that one of the person who eventually became the ambassador of America to the U.S., it says Israelis are going to have a friend in a president like Donald Trump, never seen before by the state of Israel, right? Well, he's considered a friend of Israel that better than anyone before, right? And also the capital of Israel. I don't know where he got that, right? Oh, by the way, I did hear him say something that he felt like to bring peace in Israel or to be the president is a calling within him. Anyway, so it says here on all these are clips from the news just to help, just to impress us that we're not just dreaming about Trump, okay? It's something that many people have mentioned in the news. Trump has every intention to recognize Jerusalem as Israel, right? And his Israel's capital, yes. And Kellyanne Conway, who is his campaign manager, said the same thing, right? Moving Israel embassy to Jerusalem is a very big priority, right? And now they're already scouting, looking for a place where they can move the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. And I think recently I heard John saying that they are going to move, after they move the embassy to Jerusalem, from there they will start to work on the peace treaty. So, amazing, right? Also, actually, to rebuild the temple, you and to have the peace treaty, you need the help of Putin, because he is the backbone of the Arabs. And you know that Trump's attitude is to befriend him, right? To work together with him so that the peace treaty can be successful and the temple can be rebuilt, right? So it's amazing, yeah? It says here, we're poised to rebuild the temple. The political condition today in which the two most important national leaders in the world support the Jewish right to Jerusalem as their spiritual inheritance is historically unprecedented. Yeah. And then, of course, the Jewish people themselves, they are also preparing, even starting to train priests to know, just like what we're doing today, except we're building the heavenly temple. We're also training to be priests, right? But they are also doing it for their earthly temple. You see, we're not far behind. Right?
They are not far behind.
Okay. Yeah. So they're teaching Jewish priests to perform temple service for the third temple. They are planning, they're anticipating for the time to come to rebuild the temple and to restore the offerings and the priestly ministry. It's amazing, right? Yeah. So again, Times of Israel, it says here, Trump says he will try to broker Israel and Palestinian peace treaty. I don't think there has ever been a president elect before that talked so much about the peace treaty, even before he became the president. He's just a president elect, and he already has so many plans to restore. And then it is peace through strength, right? Without strength, you cannot bring peace. America today is so weak, nobody listens to America, right? Even the not only China doesn't listen to him, even the Philippines doesn't listen. Poor country calls Obama to go to hell, right? How can America broker a peace treaty when even the Philippines will not listen to them, right? But praise the Lord, he wants to make America strong, great again, wealthy again, right? Great again, and he's going to rebuild the military, etc., etc., because America has to be great before. And remember, it says here, with power, right? He, the prince, which is the seventh king, we'll talk about the seventh king later, all right? But he will be the seventh king who will broker the peace treaty. Everything seems to fit in, right? That's why we said last night, we're not only very close, we are very, very close, because everything seems to, yeah, again, he says, right, I would love to be the one who made peace with Israel and the Palestinians. That would be such a great achievement. So, oh Lord, what point are we? Let us read Romans 13, right? It says here, 11 and 12. And do this, knowing that the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. We need to awake out of our spiritual sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Mercy, how long have you been a Christian? At least 50 years ago, right? We're the same age, so. Well, it is time to wake up, because our salvation is much, much nearer now than when we first believed, right? Darkest part of the night, really. Everything is so corrupt, right? Immorality is at its peak. So many problems, unprecedented, right? The whole refugee crisis in Europe is unsolvable, right? So many problems in the world today shows us. They even changed now the definition of marriage. It's not between a man and a woman, it's between a man and man or a man and a woman. We are really in the darkest part of the night, right? It says here, the night is far spent. What happens? I think John told me one time that the best time to see the bright morning star is when it is the darkest night, right? That means the Lord's coming is very soon. Yeah, therefore let us put off, cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. And then it says here, now when these things begin to happen, it is beginning to happen. It's not like 20 to 30 years from now. But when you see these things begin to happen, look up, right? Because your redemption draws near, right? Oh Lord, blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep these things which are written, for the time is near. I think these verses should apply to us much, much more now than ever before, right? Because the time is really near. I hope we will be impressed by all this, that the time is really near. So conclusion, what should you do? Sell your house, quit your school, go up to the mountains, wear white the whole day, be a hermit. Is that what you should do? Michelle, quit your research work? No, it says what? No break. Not take a break. Take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, that day come on you unexpectedly. Yeah. Don't be drunk anymore with the things of this world, right? And maybe we are not living a worldly, sinful life, but many times we are fully occupied by the cares of this life. May not be sinful, may be very legitimate, but our hearts are fully occupied by the cares of this life, right? So that day come on you unexpectedly. We don't want that to happen, right? Therefore, pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass, and stand before the Son of Man. Right? This is the goal of our conference this time, because all these things are happening, right? Unfolding before our eyes. And as we always say, we're wrong. Maybe we're thankful we're wrong, because we will be more prepared. Then we have more time to prepare for the Lord's coming, right? But if we're right, wow, that means we should be ready, right? So praise the Lord. I hope we will really pay attention to the signs of the time, right? Amen.
What our brother has shared, because there's so much information given there. The three things or events that are taken place until today, it's very important for us to realize concerning the Lord's coming again. And the first event was in 1948 and 49, which is the reformation, the restoration of the nation of Israel. Right? The Lord has given us plenty of time and plenty of opportunities for us to prepare, right? He gave us time to warn us in 1948. It doesn't mean that when the nation is reformed, the Lord is going to come right away. But he has given us time to prepare. God is a God of mercy. He's not just going to come without giving us any warning. Even during the time of Noah, when the flood was coming, God gave the people during those years plenty of time. Right? We cannot tell exactly how long it took Noah to build the ark, but definitely. And so in 1948, it was a very sure sign that the age of the return of the Lord has started. But it doesn't mean he's coming right away. He gave us time to prepare. So many people will say, well, people are saying that the Lord is coming back, and the sign was in 1948, and how many years now? Close to 70 years, and the Lord has not returned yet. So it's not true. Well, it's not that it wasn't true, but that the Lord is giving us plenty of time in advance to warn us. And the second very important sign, which again happened during this tetrad, what George just mentioned, is in 1967. And this you can read in Luke chapter 21, verse 24. The Lord said, Jerusalem will be trodden under the foot of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles is fulfilled. And that happened in 1967. From 1967 to next year, it'll be 50 years. 50 years is a concept in the Bible. Right? You all know concerning the year of Jubilee, right? So 50 years is an important number of years in the Bible. And it's going to happen next year. So the second sign was also given in 1967, even closer, even more sure. And on top of that, it shows us that the time of the nations has come to an end. Later on, the brothers will explain to us what does it mean. Because when the nation of Israel during the Old Testament days rebelled against God and started to worship idols, even sacrifices their children to demons. Can you imagine that? Would you do that to your children? Definitely not. But God's people, the Jews, did that. So God gave up the nation of Israel and gave the rule over this world to the nations, starting with Babylonian kingdom, then the Persian kingdom, then to the Grecian kingdom, then the Roman empires, until this very day, the age of democracy. But you have to realize that in 1967, officially, the times of the Gentiles ended. So from 1967 on, you can really see democracy has been degrading all the time. And today, it's almost bankrupt, full of corruption. You talk about human rights. What is human rights? Even criminals have their rights. So it is fallen. It is really degraded. That shows that today, even the age of democracy is coming to an end. So, we come to the third important sign in Daniel chapter 9, and that is the last sign, which is the peace treaty. And this is going to happen definitely in our time. We have the third tetrad. Remember, these are special tetrads because it coincided exactly with the Jewish feasts. This is very special. And you have to realize that the feasts were appointed by God. These are appointments. The season appointed by God. And if God appointed this season, it must have a meaning. It must have a meaning. And these signs, the tetrads, coincided exactly with the first feast, which is the feast of the Passover, and the second lunar eclipse coincided exactly with the Feast of Tabernacle, the last feast, Jewish feast. Don't think it is accidental. Nothing is accidental in this universe, especially two consecutive years that this lunar eclipse, the full lunar eclipse, happened exactly during these feasts. Don't tell me it is an accident. Right? And that is why we are saying that this tetrads is directly related to God's purpose and signs showing us his return related to the nation of Israel. And the last tetrad happened in 2014 and 2015. And of course, we're expecting that something important is going to happen related to Israel, right? Because Israel today is used by God to be a sign for us, for the nations. 1948 was a sign, a very important sign. Restoration of the nation of Israel. Right? 1967 is a very important sign, and you have to keep that in your heart. The restoration of the sovereignty of Jerusalem to Israel. Another sign in Luke chapter 21, verse 24, and there was the tetrad, exactly happened during the tetrad in 1967-68. Now, we have the third tetrad. What was it? It has something to do definitely with the peace treaty, but not right away, not directly, because according to Revelation chapter 17, there is the so-called the seventh king that he didn't explain right away, because we're coming to it, right? Maybe some of you would be surprised, what is and who is this seventh king? Well, you just wait. You'll see that in Revelation chapter 17. But there has to be someone who is capable of hosting the peace treaty. And the previous presidents didn't make it. And they really didn't care. They really didn't care. But now you have a president-elect that made it his priority to make peace in the Middle East. I personally heard the speech that Donald Trump gave when I was in Europe then at that time, and that was last year, right? That was last year where he really said, the first thing I'm going to do when I became the president or elected as president is to move the American embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, because, he said, Jerusalem is the eternal capital of Israel. He's not going to make it the eternal capital, but he said it. Because it is. Even when the Lord comes back, he is going to set up his throne in Jerusalem to rule over the nations. It's going to be an eternal capital. Because it is written, I have chosen Zion in Psalm 132. I have chosen Zion, and here is my rest forever. The Lord is not going to change. That's why Jerusalem is such a trouble today, because the enemy occupied Jerusalem so that the Jews could not do anything, could not build their temple nor offer up sacrifices. So Jerusalem is important. And in 1967, Jerusalem was restored to the sovereignty of Israel, although United Nations refused to recognize that. But nevertheless, today it is in the hand of Israel. Right? So, we are waiting for this peace treaty, and who is going to do it? It takes some powerful person from a powerful nation to do it. And the only friend of Israel today. Yeah. Without USA, Israel cannot exist. This is a fact. Everybody knew that. And that's why the enemy is trying to bring USA down, to corrupt this country and to degrade this country. And here comes somebody who says he's going to make USA what? Great again. Whoa, where did he get that? Somebody must have inspired him. Who do you think inspired him to do that? And why you have to make USA great again? Because if not, it is impossible to make that peace treaty work in the Middle East. And I want to remind you that USA is the only superpower today, although it is in a mess right now. That's why somebody is coming to make it great again. You need to appreciate that. I'm not saying that the president-elect is a great man or something, no. But what we are concerned about is the fulfillment of God's word, because his word must be fulfilled. And you tell me who's going to do it. There's no other friend of Israel that's going to make a peace treaty that will help Israel. In the last few decades, United Nations has made some resolution that is really not favorable to Israel, especially in the last 8 years. Look at a treaty, the agreement made with Iran. It is all for the benefit of Iran and nothing for Israel. And who made that? Obama. And Trump says that is the worst treaty of the century. That's what he says. He says that's the worst deal. The enemy has everything, we got nothing. That's a stupid deal, he says. And indeed it is. Sorry, I have to agree with him. Right? And here comes somebody in this time of the Tetrad. In a very amazing way, he made it. Everybody was laughing at him. Trump, he is not going to make it. Everybody was laughing at him, right? He was a laughing stock. But he overcame all the obstacles. And to the surprise of everybody and a lot of people even weep and cry, oh, it's not Hillary, it is Trump. And some people even got sick because of that. But we are rejoicing. Not because we are for Trump, but because we are for God's purpose. I'm not saying he's a good man or he's a bad man or he's a Christian, he's non-Christian. I don't know. It doesn't really matter to accomplish the peace in the Middle East. And he's a friend of Israel. He has a son-in-law that is a Jew. His daughter Ivanka was converted into Judaism. And now he has appointed a friend of his, a Jew, who was probably his former lawyer, something like that, to become his ambassador when he takes office to Israel. And they are starting now even to make plans to move the embassy, American embassy, to Jerusalem. And in 1995, actually, the Congress passed a law to move the U.S. embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. But there was a clause in that law that says any president could waive it. That means the president is not obliged to do it. He can choose to do it or not to do it, but the law is there. None of the presidents since Clinton, Bush, Obama, none of them want to do it because it's a controversy. You're going to offend a lot of people when you do that, right? But this man is not afraid of controversy. He thrives in controversy. He loves controversy. The more problem you give him, the more he's strengthened. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. There was so much opposition. The whole media, the mainstream media was against him. Everything was against him. Even the whole Republican Party was against him. Everybody was against him. But he made it. Hey, somebody must be helping him. You know who that somebody is, right? Somebody who appointed him. The Most High God, because the time has come. Because the time has come. You need to realize this. This is why we're talking about the third tetrad. And the important thing which is related to Israel and peace in the Middle East is this president-elect. Possibly. Of course, we dare not say 100% that it's going to happen, but I don't know how many percent. If it's not 100%, it's 95% maybe. Maybe 99.9. Yeah. Remember this. If they really succeeded in moving the embassy to Jerusalem, it will be 99%. So, you better get yourself ready. It's not a joke. It's not a joke. It has something to do with the prophetic word of God in the Bible. So, we all need to get ourselves ready for the Lord's coming. And in the evening meetings, we will use the meetings to share concerning how to get ourselves ready according to the Word of God. What does the Lord say how we should be ready? Right. So, you all need to see the signs of times. Very, very significant, very important. Right. Remember this. We are not talking about just knowledge, But the Holy Spirit has to stir up our inner man, to wake us up. Don't just continue the way you've been living and traditionally or whatever kind of life you're leading today. You have to ask, when the Lord comes right now, am I ready to meet Him? Right. This man has only 8 years, right, as president, if he's re-elected. Otherwise, he has 4 years. So that means you don't have much time, because when a peace treaty is signed, the last 7 years of this age will arrive. That means there's only last 7 years. And the last 3.5 years will be the judgment time. Time, times, and half a time. 1,260 days, 42 months. Revelation even did the mathematics for you, so that you will be sure it's talking about 3.5 years. God even did the mathematics for you, in case you cannot count or haven't taken any course of math. Serious business. Right. So may the Lord have mercy on us. Wake up and look to the Lord. Repent from all our ways, like we sang in the song. Okay. Don't try to excuse yourselves. There's no time for that. Amen.